West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. This is our home. And I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my great joy to serve this loving and kind congregation. And everyone is welcome here. You are welcome here no matter who you love, what your immigration status is, and how you express your gender. You are welcome if you came here alone or if you came here with other people. You're welcome if today your heart is full of joy or whether your heart is aching. Everyone is welcome here, no matter who you are. We each carry the spark of the divine within us. After the service, we're going to have coffee downstairs and some other events, which will be announced by Karen, our president.
Thanks, Tracy. We have our annual meeting this Sunday. It'll start at noon. After you get your coffee, feel free to come back upstairs. There's going to be food for those of us coming to the meeting so we don't get hangry. And there will be quorum cookies baked by our own Howard Baldwin for those 30 people who get here to make the quorum. So if you're first, you're going to get a cookie. There's, some of them are gluten-free, don't worry. And there will be, like I said, small snacks. During the meeting, we're going to play some games to help us look more deeply at the budget that we have to pass, the strategic plan, which we've been working on all year, and the new people that we're electing to our board and our leadership development team. And there's prizes for the three people who get the most questions right. And so we're putting a little fun into what can often be, more serious. But it is serious information, but we'll be having some fun. So especially members, we invite you to join us at noon here. And if you're a visitor, even for the first time, or if you've been here for a long time and just want to see what it's all about, please stay with us. Thank you.
And I also want to welcome those people who are online this morning, and you can get together for coffee hour. The link is in the order of service that came in your email. So now we will take a moment to greet one another. And this morning our question...
Good morning.
is our chalice light. And our words this morning are from Tracy Johnson. We kindle our chalice flame this morning, awakening the fire of our ancestors in our hearts, beacon of freedom held out to light the way, light of reason illuminating the path, spark of courage igniting our... This is the holy flames past kind of getting involved. There, so this flame brightens this present moment, that we may be the love that is our center and our foundation. Blessed be. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm John Bowling, director of the Choristers, and this is always a fun service for us to get to do, the kind of chorister music service at the end of the year, and we kind of are embracing the theme of freedom and going a lot of different directions with it. This first piece immediately set my kind of, you know, musical freedom sparks flying, and so I hope you enjoy the rhythm and the ancient melody of this piece.
Oh, the song we just heard are, "Come on, guys, the sun is going down." The ancient cheerful tune and those words make me imagine that a long-ago person calling it to people like, "Get with it, guys, the end of the day is coming. Enjoy." And so, because today we are considering the concept of freedom, I also heard, "Come on, guys, the sun is going down, so get free at last." I was like, "Amen, yes, let's get free." But then I thought, what is freedom? Freedom is so many things. Freedom from prisons and oppressions that crush us. Maybe those prisons are inside us, holding us tightly. A berating voice telling us exactly how we must be to be included or loved or successful. Maybe the automatic response of trauma imprisons us. Maybe those prisons are outside us. Power denies us rights and opportunity because of who we are and who our ancestors were. Maybe we are actually imprisoned or enslaved. Maybe power denies us dignity or enough food, resources for food, shelter, or healthcare. Maybe the structures that be do not allow us to make healthy decisions for ourselves and our families. This morning's Time for All Ages is about the fight to be free from the perspective of the American farm workers.
So our story this morning is a book of Cesar Chavez by David A. Adler and Michael S. Adler. As a child, Cesar Chavez traveled with his family from one farm to the next to pick food crops. After a day in the fields, his back and hands were sore and achy, yet Chavez and other Chavez. I have to tell you, when I practiced, I had it right every single time. Chavez and others who put food on Americans' table often had no tables of their homes, their own, no real homes. Great. Later, Cesar Chavez would lead the fight for better pay, better working conditions, and health care for families such as his. This is the story of his life. Cesar Chavez was born March 31st, 1927 in Arizona. His parents were farmers with five children. Cesar's father worked long hours, and it was Cesar's mom who kept them together. She taught her children values and told them stories and proverbs such as, "What you do to others, others do to you." Cesar woke early each morning and did the usual farm chores before going to school. The Chavez family spoke Spanish, but in school, whenever Cesar spoke Spanish, his teacher would hit him. "It's a terrible thing," he said later, "when you have your own language and customs, and those are shattered." In 1938, Cesar's parents lost their farm and moved to California. Cesar's father soon found work for the family picking peas. They walked, bent over, between the rows of plants for a full hamper, 25 pounds of peas, they earned 20 cents. When the work on that farm was done, the family moved on. They picked many different fruits and vegetables. When the farm boss was especially unfair, or when the work conditions were especially bad, Cesar's father said, "Okay, let's go," and they quit. Cesar later remembered, "Our dignity meant more than money." The Chaffez family, like many others, had no real home. One winter, with nowhere else to go, they slept in a tent in a woman's yard. The family moved around so much that Caesar attended 65 elementary schools, some for just a day or a week. In 1942, after his father was hurt in a car accident, 15-year-old Caesar dropped out of school to earn money for his family. In 1944, in the midst of World War II, Caesar enlisted in the U.S. Navy. He served for 2 years. While on shore leave, he went to a movie theater in California. The theater was segregated. African Americans, Filipinos, and Mexicans were confined to a section on the right. Caesar felt this was wrong. He sat on the left and was arrested. In our own way, Chaffez said later, my family had been challenging rowers for some time. Now he was challenging the theater owner. In 1952, Chaffez met Fred Ross, who had been sent to San Jose to register voters. He changed my life, Chaffez said later. Chaffez talked and argued with people, convincing them to register to vote. Workers would ask, why is it we can't get any jobs? The jobs were going to workers from Mexico who accepted lower pay. Chaffez organized a march and gave speeches. After a 13-month struggle, the owners gave in and hired local workers. In 1962, Chaffez formed a fruit pickers union, and by 1965, it had 1,700 member families. It was at this time they decided to hold a strike against the owners of the grape farms in California. Chaffez and the Farm Workers Union did not think it was fair to pay workers $1 an hour for such hard work. Some growers even made the workers pay for water they drank in the hot sun. Chaffez organized meetings, sit-ins, and marches for the underpaid workers. When this did not work, he called for a boycott of grapes. This means he asked everyone in the United States to stop buying grapes from California. He also went on a fast and refused to eat anything himself for 25 days. The strike and the boycott took about 2 years, but finally they were successful. In the July of 1970s, the members of Chaffez's union got higher pay and health care protection. Senator Robert F. Kennedy came to honor Chaffez. I come here as an American citizen to honor Caesar Chaffez, said Kennedy. I honor him for his honesty and dedication. Chaffez continued his fight for poor farm workers. He organized a boycott of lettuce and protested when the group was threatened with anti-union laws. He also knew that poisonous chemicals were bad for the workers. Chaffez led the fight to pass laws to limit the use of these chemicals. Chaffez died in 1993. 1 year later, his wife Helen accepted a Presidential Medal of Freedom for her husband. President Bill Clinton spoke at the ceremony saying, he brought dignity to the lives of so many others and provided for us the inspiration for the rest of our nation's history. That's the end. While Caesar Chaffez helped farmers today still struggle with low pay and harsh living conditions. For over 2 years, workers at a mushroom facility in Sunnyside, Washington, now owned by the Windmill Mushroom Farm, have worked for low pay and worked for higher pay and have been fighting for union recognition. Under Washington state law, farm workers do not have the right to organize. Pro-union workers at Windmill have been fired or pressured to leave their jobs by terrible conditions. The company has brought in international migrants with less rights and lower pay, just as they did in Chavez's time. After repeated demonstrations, petitions, and other demands, the United Farm Workers announced the first official boycott for farm workers in a decade against Windmill Mushrooms until the company agrees to recognize the union. So I ask you to support farm workers today and help them be free and have dignity in their lives, just as Chavez did. We can support this boycott to help them. Let us now sing our children to their classes. Lives, there is the horror of cruel injustices when power controls the circumstances of our lives. For many, it is a great relief when one is treated fairly and with dignity. Being hurt by others because they want power or because we are invisible to them causes extreme suffering. And most of us have experienced this sometimes. But some people, because of their identities, experience it much more than others. This experience of being held down by power is part of the human experience, unfortunately, just as suffering is part of the human experience. At the same time, working with others for freedom is a pleasure and privilege of being human as well. Joy and care are part of the human experience. In this community, we hold each other's pain and celebrate each other's joys. So this morning we will, as is our tradition, place stones in the water that symbolize the joys and sorrows of our own lives. And the bowl is a symbol for the way this community holds both of our suffering to make it lighter and our joy to make it more magnificent. And you may speak a sentence into the mic if you wish, as you place a stone, or you may place a stone in silence. You may come forward as you wish.
I was going to place a stone with joy of Pride Month, which should be every month of the year.
Sorrow and frustration for the lack of after-school care for our kids of working parents. I submitted the registration form 8 minutes after it opened yesterday, and we're on the wait list. Daughter's pregnancy is not going well.
I have two stones, one for personal joy for my own freedom, and also a fear and sadness for those immigrants who in our communities are being rounded up, including Francisco Aguilera, who helps so many people. There's a GoFundMe for him.
Last week I had a crisis, and I've been staying with a good friend of ours, and he's helped me stabilize myself.
I am happy that three of my dear friends are here today, Nancy and Roy and Laurel, to hear the choristers, of which I'm very proud.
And I will place two last stones, one for the people of Gaza, who are in my prayers incessantly, and also in hopes that the violence does not begin or get worse in Los Angeles.
Announcement from Howard. I understand we're having a little bit of Wi-Fi issue this morning, so if folks could silence, or not silence, but turn off their cell phones or disconnect them from this Wi-Fi, that would be really helpful. So we have a reading by Jill McDonough, and it's called Cindy Comes to Hear Me. Cindy, not her real name, I met her in prison, and people in prison I give the fake names. I taught her Shakespeare. Remember her frown, wide eyes, and terror of getting things wrong. Her clear, arguable thesis of Desdemona's motives, Desdemona's past. The last days were hard on her. It taking visible work to see things could be worse. Imagine it I did. But now she's out in jewelry and makeup, new clothes, haircut she chose and paid for. We hugged. We'd never hugged. It's not allowed. On the outside, you can hug whoever you want. She told me she has an apartment now, a window, an ocean view. The thought of it, wild, as far-fetched then as when you're a kid playing grown-up, playing any kind of house. She has a job. She drives there in traffic. Each day she sees the angry people, sweet, silly people, mad, God bless them, at traffic, at other cars. She laughs, she told me, laughs out loud alone in her car. People around her angry as toddlers. Whole highways of traffic. Everybody at the work of being free.
This poem is by Rosemary Wotolla Tromer. Perhaps it would eventually erode, but that rock that we have been pushing up the hill, that one, that keeps rolling back down, and we keep pushing it back up. What if we stopped? Why, we are not Sisyphus. This rock is not a punishment. It's something we've chosen to push. Who knows why? I look at all the names we once carved into its sedimentary sides. How important I thought they were, those names. How I've clung to the labels. Who's right? Who's wrong? How I've cared about who's pushed harder and who's been slack. Now all I want is to let the rock roll back to where it belongs. And you and I could imagine walk unencumbered.
Thank you.
Our lives are so full of blessings and abundance. But no matter what we do, somewhere, someone is emphatic that we do not have what we need or what will make us happy. This makes us stressed or disappointed because everywhere we look, we see what we could have but don't have. This is not freedom. This is a hamster wheel that drives us to keep running in circles, seeking the next thing that will make us happy. The first step of getting off that hamster wheel is to practice gratitude daily, many times a day, noticing all the abundance we have been given, and to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let us do that now. Call into the room all that you are grateful for.
Choristers.
Fresh mangoes.
Making good trouble.
Hugs.
Bacon.
Las Bocas de Cesar Chavez.
Another practice to get off the hamster wheel is to be generous with your time, talent, and resources. Generosity is the natural calling of the heart that when we understand the abundance of what has been given to us without effort, and then we are called to spread the wealth instead of clinging to it out of fear or out of greed. This is almost one of the most counter-cultural acts that we can engage in. It is an act of saying we are in this life together. So let us use our time, knowledge, and resources for the benefit of all. And so we practice that here too. Let us take the offering and give generously. is by Julian Jamaica Soto. To the people who have mistaken freedom for liberation. To be free, you embrace the breadth of your own experience without apology. Even if they try to take it from you. No, not that you can do whatever you want. You're not a kudzu vine eating entire hillsides for the purpose of feeding your own lush life. You must know instead that inside you are entire universes, milky blue, magenta, and gold expanding. But to actually be free, you must know and you must fight for the entire universes inside of everyone else. Being free is not a license, but a promise.
Much. And now we would love it if you would join in the singing of our last hymn with us, I Wish I Knew How. 151, if you're following in your gray hymnals.
Them and insist that those who bind them release them. Let us be free together. We extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with us all until we meet again. Let's sing our final hymn, Carry the Flame. The front faces the back, and we will sing.